This conference is on the holy hour and why we should try to make a daily holy hour with Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. I know many of you are making a weekly holy hour through our Chapel of Eucharistic Adoration, but I'd like to share with you what the benefits are of making a daily holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament. And in Scripture, Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, "Can you not watch 1 hour with me?" And this is what he said to the apostles in the agony in the garden, that Jesus wanted his disciples, his friends, to keep him company for 1 hour. He said, "Can you not watch 1 hour with me?" Jesus was taking upon himself the sins of the whole world, the sins of the human race, and he wanted companionship. He wanted help. He wanted the support and comfort of his friends during that hour of agony. And so he asked the same question to every priest and really to every person, because everyone is called to be a friend of Christ. Can you not watch 1 hour with him? So all of you are given that invitation to spend 1 hour with Jesus. Now Bishop Sheen gives the definition of a holy hour. He says, it's one continuous hour spent in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. It could be during Eucharistic exposition, as we have right now, or it could be to visit Jesus in the church in the tabernacle. Either one is fine. It has to be a continuous hour, 60 minutes, that we give to Jesus every day. The only thing that could interrupt it would be the Mass. If you would attend Mass, let's say, at 9 in the morning, you could have a half an hour before Mass from 8:30 to 9, and then from 9:30 to 10, finish your holy hour. That would still be considered a continuous holy hour because the Eucharistic sacrifice of the Mass would not break the holy hour. But it needs to be 60 minutes. Now the reason for this is because we're called not just to be good, but we're called to be holy. A good person could just attend Mass on Sundays, but a holy person should give God more time than that. In fact, he or she should make time every day for God. And you know, Sunday Mass is something that we have to do. You know, we have to do it. It's part of our obligation. Whereas a holy hour is something that we should want to do. It's love, because love goes beyond obligation. You know, if we just go to Mass on Sunday, we're not doing anything above and beyond what any Catholic should do, what any Catholic has to do to be considered a Catholic in good standing. So we should do something extra. We should give God 1 hour a day, which really isn't even a whole lot of time when you consider 168 hours in the week. You know, a person that only goes to church 1 hour a week is one out of 168 hours. That's like 0.06 of 1% of the time during the week. And if we give God 1 hour a day, 7 hours a week, that comes up to maybe 1 to 2% of our time throughout the week. So it's still not a whole lot of time, but it is a beautiful sacrifice of love we can make for our Lord. Father Roberts once said that if we only ate as much as we prayed, how hungry would we be? Imagine your 24-hour day. If you're only allowed to eat the same amount of time that you spent in prayer, would you be able to survive? Would any of us be able to survive? Would we be suffering from spiritual malnutrition? Would we have died long ago from famine? So if we ate as much as we prayed, how hungry would we be? But sometimes people say, well, I'm too busy to spend an hour a day before the Blessed Sacrament. Well, who is busier? Is any of us busier than Mother Teresa, who made a holy hour every day? Is any of us busier than Frank Duff? Frank Duff never missed a holy hour. Frank Duff, for what, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, spent an hour a day before the Blessed Sacrament. And he was busier than all of us. Who's busier than Pope John Paul II, who makes a holy hour every single day? Once when Mother Teresa was asked, "Mother Teresa, I'm too busy to make a holy hour." You know what she said? "Well, then make 2 holy hours. The busier you are, the more time you need to spend in prayer. If you're a very busy person, then you need to spend at least an hour a day in prayer. Father Hardin spends 3 hours a day before the Blessed Sacrament, and that does not include Mass or other things. It's just private prayer. Bishop Sheen never missed the holy hour in 54 years as a priest. Isn't that amazing? In 54 years as a priest, never missed it. On one occasion, Bishop Sheen was in Paris, and it was 2 o'clock, and he only had 1 hour before his train left at 3. So he went to the Church of St. Roch in Paris and made his holy hour. And as soon as he got into the church at 2 o'clock, he fell asleep. And he woke up exactly 1 hour later at 3 o'clock. And he said, "Lord, did I make a holy hour?" And he heard Jesus say to him, "Yes, the same way that the apostles spent their first holy hour in the garden, sound asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane." Bishop Sheen has all sorts of neat stories of how he would make his holy hour, and sometimes he'd be at a different church in a different town, and he'd get locked into churches by the pastor who forgot he was in there, and the door would be locked. One occasion, Bishop Sheen had to climb out a window, and he fell into a dumpster of coal. And so he has all sorts of stories of what happened. But you know, the more time you spend in prayer, the more you will get done. The less time you spend in prayer, the less you'll get done. It's just the law of the spiritual life. The people who get most done are the ones who spend most time in prayer. Whenever you read the lives of the saints, I mean, how could St. Anthony Mary Claret write thousands of pamphlets and booklets? He did 300,000 confirmations. He did like 80,000 marriage validations. He baptized like 50,000 babies as Bishop of Cuba. And yet, it's the busy people that spend the time in prayer. And those who spend time in prayer will actually get more done. Bishop Sheen wrote 80 books as a bishop. Can you imagine that? 80 books, and he spent an hour a day. How many bishops alive in America today have written 2 books? I guarantee you that if they spend an hour a day before the Blessed Sacrament, they'd be writing a lot more books and influencing the world a lot more than we could even imagine. And Bishop Sheen was also making TV programs at this time. He was making videos. He was on the radio making tapes. He was giving retreats all over the world, all over the country, giving missions at parishes and retreat houses. He established a leper colony in Africa. And he taught classes, you know, taught philosophy and theology at different universities. You know, Father Hardin says that every book he's ever written, and he's written dozens of books, maybe 30 books, every one of his writings is done before the Blessed Sacrament. He does all his writing, all his talks, he prepares before the Blessed Sacrament. So we cannot underestimate the power of spending time in Eucharistic adoration. My favorite story is a woman named Mrs. Vaughn, who had 8 children, and she prayed that one of her kids would become a priest or a nun. And so as a sacrifice, she decided, said, "Lord, I'm going to make a holy hour every day, that if it's your will, you will give the grace to one of my children to enter religious life and to become a priest or a nun." Well, three girls became nuns, and all 5 boys became priests. 8 vocations from one family. Out of the 5 priests, 2 became bishops, 1 became an archbishop over in England. So a powerful story of a woman who was able to be the instrument of graces in her family by spending time on her knees before the Blessed Sacrament. That's where vocations will come from your families, if you make a daily holy hour, and you will be the magnet to bring down graces from heaven upon your family. Now, Bishop Sheen makes an interesting point. He says, if you make a daily holy hour, your major problem in life will be solved. Isn't that something? Your major defect in your life will be given the grace to overcome that. If it's anger, if it's pride, no matter what it might be, whatever your flaw is in your life, or whatever you're dealing with, whatever your biggest problem is, if you make a daily holy hour, you'll be given the grace to overcome that. We call this the daily spiritual exercises. You know, some people go to the gym every morning. They don't think anything of working out for an hour a day. or three times a week. People don't think of anything of going to the gym and working out 1 hour a day for bodily exercise. Well, our souls will live forever. Our bodies will eventually die and corrupt and dissolve. But what about the spiritual exercises? That's what the holy hour is daily spiritual exercise. And it's amazing how much time we spend in life, you know, eating, preparing meals, driving around, spending time at work, spending time doing all the things that we need to do, like the duties of our state and life, and those are good things. But why not give God 1 hour a day? Why not, you know, take a look at our life and think, like, how much time does it take to read the morning paper? Sometimes people spend a half an hour just reading the morning papers or watching the 11 o'clock news. That's an hour right there, perhaps. Or some people watch TV. You know, there's a study done that says that the most successful people in America watch less than a half an hour of TV a day. And that the least successful people in America watch between 3 to 7 hours of TV every day. Imagine that, 3 to 7 hours. So if we could just carve out, get rid of some of the TV time or some of the newspaper time and spend that time with Jesus, the benefits would be absolutely tremendous. Now people ask, well, how do you make a holy hour? How is it done? You know, do I have to sit? Do I have to kneel the whole time? What are the rules, basically? And Bishop Sheen says there are no rules. That's the beautiful thing. That at Mass, you know, you do your spiritual exercises, sit, stand, kneel, sit, stand, kneel. So they tell you what to do at Mass. But during the holy hour, it's up to you. You can sit for the whole time. You can kneel for the whole time. Bishop Sheen recommends kneeling for the hour just in supplication, adoration, and reparation. But you certainly don't have to do that. Just sitting in the presence of Jesus will be fine and soaking up his rays of love. You know, it's a way in which we can show Jesus that we love him, because you know how kids spell love, T-I-M-E, right? Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Your kids know that you love you, that you love them by how much time you spend with them. Love is represented by time, and so if you want to show Jesus that you love him, then you spend time with him. It enables the relationship to grow. There was a study done, I think it was Gary Smalley, the marriage counselor, who said that an interview was done with like 1,000 women, 1,000 married women, and it was asked, how much time do you want to spend in good communication with your husband every day? And you know what the answer was? About 1 hour. You know, about 1 hour. And the guys hear that and think, 1 hour, you know, that's a lot of time. But imagine, in fact, most husbands and wives don't probably spend that much time, an hour, in really heartfelt communication of talking about different things. But that's what's recommended for a good marriage, to spend about an hour, whether it be at dinner or just talking with your spouse. So if you need that to have a good marriage, what about a good relationship with Jesus? Don't you think you'd need an hour as well to develop that love relationship with our Lord, who is called by the saints the spouse of our souls, the spouse of our souls? Now during the holy hour, you can use it for anything you want to do during that hour. For example, you can say the breviary, which is the liturgy of the hours, like morning and evening prayer. You might wish to say the rosary during that time, which maybe takes up about 15 minutes of the hour. You might wish to read the Bible for a period of time, maybe, again, for 10 or 15 minutes. They recommend that you not spend more than 20 minutes or so reading the divine office, and that if you do formal prayers, you limit that to about 20 minutes or half an hour, and spend the other time in more personal, private prayer with our Lord. Otherwise, it's so easy to just fill up the whole time in reading or in saying the divine office. But like Bishop Sheen recommended that like 20 minutes will be for the divine office, 20 minutes for perhaps a rosary, and 20 minutes for quiet time, just talking with our Lord. But again, it's entirely up to you. These are just suggestions. You can use this time for some spiritual reading, maybe reading the lives of the saints or the writings of the saints. You might take a journal with you and spend some time conversing with our Lord by writing this down in the journal. And then you should also spend time just listening. Remember what it says in the Bible, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. It doesn't say, listen, Lord, your servant is always speaking. So, speak, Lord. And so we just need that quiet time to listen to Jesus speaking to us. Just to gaze upon him in the Blessed Sacrament or in the tabernacle. Jesus says, can you not watch 1 hour with me? You don't have to do anything. You just sit there and watch. You can just sit there and be in the presence of Jesus in silence and soak up his love. There was a story in the life of a curate of ours, St. John Vianney, who came into his church, and there was always a man, an elderly man, sitting in the front pew. And this man would sometimes be there for 5 or 10 hours a day. He was retired, he was elderly, to spend time in prayer. But he was never reading anything, he was just looking at the tabernacle. And the curate of ours asked him, what do you say to Jesus during these 5, 10 hours a day? And he says, well, I just look at Jesus and Jesus looks at me. And that's mentioned in the New Catechism under prayer, under really the highest form of contemplation, is just being in the presence of God, looking at Jesus and have him look at you. And that's what a comfortable relationship between husband and wife, they don't have to say anything. They can just be in each other's company. And there's comfort there. And there's a special relationship with friends. You don't have to say anything. You're just with each other. And so we should use some of that time for just sitting there quietly with Jesus. It's a time to think. It's a time to clear your mind. I'm sure those of you who make a weekly holy hour notice what a benefit that is to have that center rod every day upon which the wheel of our week turns around. It's like that the spokes all lead to this one center rod. And from that, all the activities of our life revolve around. So Bishop Sheen says, you know, if we make a holy hour just once a week, that's sort of an interruption of our week. But if you make a holy hour every day, it becomes part of your day. It's no longer an interruption. It's what you build your day around. We can use this time in the hour of adoration just to think. As Father Hardin says, prayer is thinking in the presence of God. That's his definition of prayer. It's conversation with Christ, an opportunity to meditate and to perhaps even, if God will call you to, more infused contemplation and this special gift of contemplation. The Holy Hour gives us the opportunity to pray in the five ways of adoration, love, thanksgiving, asking, and reparation. The easy way to remember that is the word altar, A-L-T-A-R. The A stands for adoration. You know, we as creatures are called to adore our God. That's why he made us, is that we can one day be happy with him forever and eternity and adore him. So as creatures, we have the obligation to worship God and to adore him. What better way than to spend time in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, to adore our Creator? Because the same Jesus that we're praying to in adoration is the same one that's going to judge us on Judgment Day. And we'd hate to have Jesus say to us when we came before him, depart from me, I never knew you. That's one of the passages from Scripture. The Lord says, I never knew you. So how are you going to get to know Jesus if you don't spend time with him in Eucharistic adoration? The second word is love, which is the letter L in altar, stands for love. In adoration, we're called to return love for love. Our love for love with a capital L, the love that Jesus gives us. And we're called to return and to show our love for Jesus as he shows his love for us. John Paul II has said that the Eucharist is the sacrament of love and that Jesus waits for us in the sacrament of love. Mother Teresa says that when you look at the crucifix, you see how much Jesus loved you 2,000 years ago. When you look at the host, the Blessed Sacrament, you see how much Jesus loves you right now. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That the crucifixion occurred 2,000 years ago. And if you see the crucifix, you see God's love for you, of what he did for you in the past. But the Eucharist is how much Jesus loves you right now, 1997, on October 18th. in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, our love for Jesus grows by spending time with our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. It's a way in which we can grow in our friendship with Christ, in intimacy with our Lord, which can only come about by just spending time. The next letter is T, which stands for Thanksgiving. The very word the Eucharist means thanksgiving. And so what better way to thank God for the blessings He's given you in your life than to spend time before the Blessed Sacrament? We have many things to thank God for, don't we? Our life, the gift of life, the gift of our health, the gift of our families, the gift of our friends, the blessing of our country, our freedom, our religious freedom, our Catholic faith, the blessings of, I mean, just the thousands of blessings that every one of us has. When do we thank God for that? Well, if we spend some time in prayer every day, we can thank God for the blessings of our life. The next letter is A, which stands for ask, or petition. You know, if you're like me, a lot of people will ask you for prayers. Because if they know you're in the Legion, or if they know that you're Catholic and you're the Church, people will ask you to pray for them all the time, don't they? Especially priests and nuns are always being asked for prayers. Well, when do you pray for these people? If you make an hour every day, you can bring those petitions and intercede for people at that hour. You can just say, Lord, I offer this hour for so-and-so. I offer this hour for this intention, for that intention. Because all of us have people that are in need of prayers. All of us have been asked to pray for a healing of somebody, maybe a physical healing, might be emotional or spiritual healing. It might be cancer, it might be a difficult marriage, it might be a son or daughter that left the Catholic faith. It might be a grandparent that's dying some other state, some faraway place. It might be that a person asked you that will pray that you find a job. Well, when do you do that? If you come to the Holy Hour, you can intercede for those people and bring those petitions and pray for those people. You can pray for the souls in purgatory during the Holy Hour. You can pray for vocation. Mother Teresa said when her order only made one Holy Hour a week, they did okay. But like 20 years ago, they began making a daily Holy Hour and the fastest growing order in the Catholic Church all over the world, because they switched from a weekly Holy Hour to a daily Holy Hour. So it's possible that in parishes we could have an increase of vocations. We could be praying for a lot of special intentions, for healing, for the conversion of abortionists, to heal women who have had abortions. I was talking to the Family Life Office, and they mentioned that this very interesting fact that the areas in the diocese where they had the three chapels of Eucharistic Adoration, St. Michael's in Annandale, Sacred Heart in Winchester, and Our Lady of Angels in Woodbridge, these are the three areas where they're getting more calls than any other areas for women calling Project Rachel, who've had abortions 5, 10, 20 years ago. But because of the graces that are flowing in these chapels, is radiating out to the women in these areas to seek healing and forgiveness and to come back to the sacraments and come back to confession. They say there's no other explanation for it of why these areas are getting the most calls for Project Rachel. There's a passage in the scripture of Moses in the Old Testament, and Moses is in prayer. And whenever Moses has his arms lifted in prayer, his people are winning the battle. When he gets tired and doesn't pray, the people lose the battle. And so Joshua comes up and sticks some big stones under Moses' arms so that he's always in prayer interceding. And that's what a priest is called to do, to intercede for his people at Mass. You know, the priest raises his arms like this to pray for the people. But all of us are called to be intercessors, right? Like Moses, to pray for people. So if you pray, the people in your life, family members, friends, relatives, will experience your intercessory power and have victory in their life. If you don't pray, they might not have victory or conversion or return to the sacrament. The R stands for reparation. Bishop Sheen says it's a holy hour of reparation, that you make up for the sins of the world, that we become victims with Christ, that we make up for our own sins during the holy hour, but also the sins of all mankind. At Fatima, Mary said to the children, console your God who is deeply offended by the sins of mankind. And we think of the sins of mankind today, things like the wars and the abortions and those things like that. A lot of reparation needs to be made. Who's making reparation? Sure, the poor Claire, the Carmelite, but what about us? Why can't we make some reparation? It's an opportunity to give consolation to Christ. Even though he's glorified, he's still suffering in his mystical body, the church. And some of the saints have referred to Jesus as the prisoner of love, the prisoner of love, who places himself in the tabernacle. He can't come out and visit us, just like those in prison can't get out, but we can go to visit them. See, at prison, they usually have visiting hours just a couple hours a day. But in churches and in the Adoration Chapel, there's always visiting hours available. You can always go to visit this great prisoner of love who came to take away the sins of the world. One interesting story, I know a priest, Monsignor Fenderman, Monsignor Weirden, down in Houston, said that he started perpetual adoration in his parish in a very dangerous neighborhood in Houston. And people said, Father, you better not start because there's all sorts of drugs and prostitution and crime out there. Some of your adorers might even get hurt trying to, you know, come to adoration during the middle of the night. He says, well, we just have to trust. In fact, there's never been a case of anybody ever getting hurt on the way to Eucharistic adoration, ever. But within a few years of adoration, the whole neighborhood began to change. The drugs were no longer a problem. The crime was way down. And it was the presence of Jesus in that neighborhood that actually converted the neighborhood just by osmosis. You know, it just seeps out the doors. Whenever the doors open, as people leave, grace is just seep out into the neighborhood. And some of you have heard of the Church of Sacré-Cœur over in Paris, which is overlooking the whole city of Paris. This was built back in like 1885 in reparation for sins. The sins of Paris and reparation for those who died during some of the wars for the French soldiers. And they've had uninterrupted perpetual adoration for over 100 years, like 112 years now. In Marytown, out in Chicago, the place run by Maximilian Kolbe's friars has had perpetual adoration since, I think, 1934. And there's some parishes in the United States that have had adoration for over 50 years. Now, sometimes it will be difficult to make the holy hour because you might be tired or you might be sick. But when you come, it's a combination of prayer and penance. It's an opportunity to unite prayer and penance together when you're not feeling up to it, but come anyway. It's also a way to show by your will that you love God and not just your emotions. It's sort of easy sometimes when we feel emotionally called to spend time in prayer, but true love is of the will. True love is of a decision. So when you come as an act of the will, it's very pleasing to our Lord. Because you're not coming just because you're emotionally feeling like it, but you're coming out of a decision to love our Lord. The saints tell us that we should pray in union with Mary. So whenever we make a holy hour, we should pray in union with our Blessed Mother. And this could mean adoring Jesus as Mary adored the Christ child in Bethlehem in the manger, to adore Jesus as we spend time with him, try to pray with Mary's words, pray with Mary's mind, love with Mary's heart. The idea of De Montfort is that we were called to love Jesus with the heart of Mary. And what better way to do this than in adoration? Now, one suggestion would be to try to make it a family hour. But if you can get your whole family to come at one time, wouldn't that be great? Bring the father, the mother, and the kids if they're like teenagers or old enough. Make it a family hour at least once a week. The other two, the kids and the other people, don't have to make a daily holy hour, but maybe one day a week, bring your spouse and your kids and make it a whole family occasion. They're doing this in Ireland. It's having great success. So they're having family holy hours, and it's been very good. Perhaps if you can come as husband and wife, it'll be a great blessing. It'll strengthen your marriage. It'll help your relationship. Or if you have young kids at home, your spouse could babysit the kids while you're at your hour. And it'll be a great example for your kids when they see you going off to spend time in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, that this will be an example for them, and eventually they may even come along with you and make a holy hour with you. Now, Bishop Sheen says, well, what happens if you fall asleep during your holy hour? And the analogy Bishop Sheen gives, well, first of all, he says, drink coffee before your holy hour, okay? Bishop Sheen says that's the one requisite he always had for his holy hour, is to drink a cup of coffee. But the example that he used was that if you're, let's say, if you're holding a child, let's say your little two-year-old, and it's all wiggly and squirming in your arms, but then it falls asleep, do you love your child any less when it's asleep? No, of course not. So if you fall asleep and are dozing before the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus doesn't love you any less. In fact, you know, if you're holding a cat, and the cat's, you know, don't you like it better when the cat is more peaceful? Now, I'm not saying we should just sleep, go into the seventh mansion of Teresa of Avila's inner interior castle, but to the highest state of contemplation, if God calls you to that, don't worry about it. Again, Jesus doesn't love you any less if you will fall asleep just like with your own child. If your child is resting peacefully in your arms, you still love that child. Now, you can make the holy hour anytime, in the morning or at night. The nighttime is the most difficult time, like 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning. But pick a specific time and be faithful to that. And you will see the fruit of the holy hour will be conversions, your own conversion, conversion of sons and daughters, grandchildren, the fruit of returns to the sacraments of many people. You yourself will grow closer to God by being in the presence of God. I call it getting a suntan, S-O-N-T-A-N, a suntan. You know how people go to the beach and they like to lay out to soak up the rays of the sun? Every time you go to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel, you're experiencing the Son of God. And His rays of love make your soul more beautiful to God. Did you know that? When you leave the Holy Hour, your soul is more beautiful and more pleasing to God because of the time you spend with our Lord. Bishop Sheen calls it a cobalt treatment that burns away sin. When you spend time in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, it's like radiation burning away your sins. It's medicine, it's medicinal. It helps you to burn away vice and sin. And you will receive many, many graces. It's also a way to make friends with people. You might not realize that, but when you go to a church or run into people, it's a way to evangelize. And the way out, you might talk to somebody coming out of the Adoration Chapel about the Legion, active or auxiliary membership. There was a pastor and an associate that were not getting along, and this was, I think it was in Chicago somewhere, and they had just been assigned to each other, and it did not look like their personalities were going to mesh, and they were already having fights. But that night, they ran into each other at midnight, going in to make their holy hour, and it brought the two of them together. They made friends at midnight before going into the Blessed Sacrament. So just to sum up here, we all become, as I mentioned before, like the people we hang around. We're all chameleons. We all change colors depending on who we're with. And so spending time in the presence of Jesus will make us more like Jesus. So we become like the people we spend time with. So that's why people that spend an hour a day before the Blessed Sacrament become more and more like Jesus. Because you soak up His rays, you soak up the graces, and He'll burn off your vices, attachments, sins, and weaknesses. And you know, one of the biggest problems in the church today is that a lot of Catholics go to Mass on Sunday, but they really don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And that's where our Protestant friends who read the Bible every day and spend time in daily prayer, they might have, you know, a closer relationship with Jesus if they're spending more time in prayer and developing that relationship. Well, the Holy Hour enables us to have a personal relationship with Jesus, not just to receive Him on Sunday once a week, but to spend time with Him every day. See, it's possible to know about Jesus, but not really to know Jesus, right? It's possible to know a whole lot of theology, like some of our great theologians, but perhaps they don't actually know Jesus personally in a friendship way, as a dear friend, as a spouse of the soul. So the Holy Hour gets people to pray. And the church that teaches you to pray will keep you. I remember Father Roberts had a story of a young man who left the Catholic Church. He said, because I never was taught how to pray in the Catholic Church. This is the answer. The Holy Hour will teach people how to pray. And the church that teaches people their faith, like how to read Scripture, how to develop a relationship with Jesus, how to pray, will keep you. And that's why I think people have left the church, because they've never had that relationship with our Lord. And again, sometimes people say, well, you know, I only got to know Jesus after I left the Catholic Church. Well, I wouldn't say that's the church's fault. I would say that's the individual's fault. I mean, St. Francis didn't have to leave the Catholic Church to discover Jesus, right? He remained a devout Catholic. Mother Teresa didn't have to leave the church to find Jesus. It's a matter of what you do with your time in the church that you can develop your relationship with Jesus or not. It's up to you to develop it. Sure, it helps to have homilies and different things that can help you, but you yourselves are the ones responsible for your relationship with Jesus. And you're called to develop that to the best that you can. Now, Bishop Sheen has an interesting point. He says, if you spend an hour a day before the Blessed Sacrament, you will be given power over souls. Isn't that an interesting expression? He means by this that you will receive the grace to influence the lives of other people. Just by who you are, by what you say, by what you do, you'll be given power over souls, which is a good thing. It's influence. Like when Bishop Sheen preached, people listened. Because he spent an hour a day for 54 years before the Blessed Sacrament. When Frank Duff said something, people listened. Why? Because he spent that time with our Lord. He had power over souls. One day, two Mormons came to Frank Duff and thought, I can convert this old guy. Within 2 hours, they were interested in the Catholic faith. After 2 hours with Frank Duff, that's what it means to have power over souls, to influence them. Legionaries need that too, right? You go knocking on a door, you work with somebody, you need to influence them. The best way to do that is spending time with our Lord. The handbook says that the soul of the apostolate is prayer. And so legionaries are called to be men and women, first of all, of prayer, to have an interior life, as we talked about in our last conference. So the time before the Blessed Sacrament will increase your faith. It will give you the opportunity to pray, to read, to spend time in silence, to work out your problems with God's help. Remember the story of the apostles on the boat? All night long they caught nothing, but one word from Jesus cast the net to the other side, and they caught a whole multitude of fish. That's how it is with the Holy Hour. You could try on your own to solve all your problems and be all night and catch nothing. One word from Jesus that comes in an inspiration before the Blessed Sacrament can completely give you the answer that you need, and you can catch your whole net full of fish at one moment. During adoration, you'll have a time to hear the will of God in your life. If you're discovering, if you want to know what your vocation is, spend time before the Blessed Sacrament, and God will speak to you in prayer. It'll help you keep your priorities in right perspective. You'll bear much fruit in your apostolate. And at the beginning, it might seem difficult to make a whole hour, but as you do it on a regular basis, you won't want to leave. Just as the apostles said, our hearts were burning as Jesus talked to us on the road. Stay with us, Lord. We won't want to leave. We'll be like the apostles at Emmaus. So I encourage you to make a resolution that if you feel God is calling you to this, to spend an hour a day before the Blessed Sacrament. And Bishop Sheen says that we go to so many retreats And we never really change after a retreat. We go to retreat and then we leave and say, oh, that was pretty good, that was a good talk, that was, you know, whatever. But how many of us have made a practical resolution after going on a retreat that we're still keeping a year later? Very few people ever make a resolution from a retreat. But he says, if you make this resolution, it will change your life, you will receive many graces and blessings, and it's a practical way to make a resolution from a day of recollection or from a retreat. And Bishop Sheen's prayer was that he would eventually die in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, that he would drop dead in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament on a Feast of Our Lady or on a Saturday. And he says, if our Lord did not carry out my wishes, he'll be mightily embarrassed when I come before him and say, for 54 years I prayed that I would die in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament on a feast day of Our Lady or on a Saturday. And I'm not sure, I have to read his autobiography and read a biography about him to find out if that actually occurred for him. I don't know if he died before the Blessed Sacrament. I don't think he did, but that was his wish. Wouldn't that be a great wish for all of us, that at the end of our life, we will die before the Blessed Sacrament? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.